السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may His peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll continue our journey exploring and learning from the great words of Allah Azza wa Jal, the best of words, the best companion that a person can take. And we are in Surah Maryam, and we'll resume from verse number 16. And inshallah, I'll try to stop wherever the topic has been completed, so that every lesson will start off with a new topic, even though there is a connection between all the ayat in the same surah. But at least we can say that the introduction wouldn't be as hard as it will be when you stop halfway in the middle of a story or a lesson. The verse that I'm at now is verse number 16.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم واذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا.
And mention in the book, the Quran, O Muhammad, the story of Maryam, when she withdrew in seclusion from her family to a place facing east. So Allah Azza wa Jal is ordering Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to mention what Allah has revealed to him from the Quran about Maryam alayha salam, who took a place in seclusion from her people, and it was facing the east. The scholars of tafsir differ. Why did she take seclusion? Some of them said that it was due to her monthly, and she wanted to be away from the place of worship in an eastern side of the mosque. Others said, no, she went for water. Allahu A'lam. And if it was something very important to know, Allah would not have kept it away from our knowledge. And to mention here, dear brothers, originally, it used to be that the people of the book would face Al-Ka'ba in their prayer. And when Maryam alayha salam took the direction of east for a specific reason, they took that on as a direction for their prayer. So they started to face east instead of facing the direction of Al-Ka'bah. And this is from their innovations in religion, where they do that which Allah has not commanded them to do. And unfortunately, dear brothers, many of us, or many of the nation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could fall into this trap where they justify their actions logically and put their logic and put their justification before realizing what Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded, before realizing what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله.
O you who believe, do not put your opinions ahead of Allah and His Messenger. Meaning, do not speak that which Allah and His Messenger have not authored, that which Allah has ordered, that which Muhammad has ordered. So, going back, Maryam alayha salam, the pure virgin, the daughter of Imran, and his story, and her story is a famous one. Originally, her mother wanted a son, and she vowed, Ya Allah, if you gift me with a male, then take him as a slave of yours who I have gifted, meaning that he has become of those who I will dedicate for your worship and take care of him in order for him to be a servant of yours. And then she was amazed that she gave birth to a female. And this female, yani, was called Maryam alayhi salam, and she was taken care of by Zakariya after they all draw lots to see who will take care of her. In brief, Zakariya was the one who took care of her. And they say that he is her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law. So I'll continue.
فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا.
She placed a screen to screen herself from them, from the people. Then we sent to her our ruh, Jibreel. He's called ar-ruh. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ على قلبك لتكون من المنذرين بلسان عربي مبين. That the trustworthy ruh, referring to Jibreel, came down with it to your heart, O Muhammad, so that you can be of the warners to people in the plain Arabic language. So the ruh refers to Jibreel, and also there's another meaning to it, which is the soul that we have, which we do not know much about it. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent to her His ruh, referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. And he appeared before her in the form of a man in all respects. Basharan sawiyya. A man in all respects. Now in Arabic, when we say sawiyya, it also has the meaning that he's got the complete perfect look. Sawiyy. So Jibreel appeared before her in a human look that was perfect. And this was for a reason, that she doesn't feel frightened. And also, there are many, many lessons that we're going to derive from this about her character. So Allah sends Jibreel in order for us to learn about this lady, who she is and what nature she had.
قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا.
She said, verily, I seek refuge with the most glorious Allah from you if you do fear Allah. Now here she referred to Allah. She said to him, I seek refuge in Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, from you. If you do fear Allah, if you were a taqi. Now, these few words that she said, wallahi, was enough to give us a lot about her. She was not someone who was taken by his looks, his beautiful looks, his complete look. She's in seclusion. Allah is telling us previously that فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا. She took a screen from them, a seclusion from them. So she was in isolation. And a man in a complete look appears before her and she is in isolation. And at that moment in time, people are tested. Male is tested and the female is tested. Especially when we're talking about a female who is... And we're talking about someone young. She wasn't an old lady. She was young. So there's a test here from Allah Azza wa Jal. But the likeness of Maryam, she's not one of those who would fall for the temptations and the desires. So she immediately responds to him with isti'adha. She responds by doing isti'adha, seeking refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal. And this shows you her understanding. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, reflect for a moment. It shows you her understanding that none will protect me and aid me and shield me from falling into the haram better than Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is, and also a similar example was given with Yusuf alayhi salam, where Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells us, fasta'asam, meaning that he sought help from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this teaches you the nature of the believer at the times when they are in a situation of fitna, or where they may be exposed to fitna, they seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jal immediately. Now she also used the name, which is a beautiful name from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is Ar-Rahman, which is a name that only befits Allah Azza wa Jal. No one is allowed to be called Ar-Rahman. قُلِ ادْعُوا اللَّهَ أَوِ ادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Say, call upon Allah or call upon the Rahman. Whichever of the two you call, for him belong the most beautiful names. And these are the two names in which you find there could be nothing derived or taken from it to be given to any creature. Unlike other names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, you find that there could be, its use can be useful for humans, of course, in a way in which it could not be compared to Allah Azza wa Jal. For example, Allah Azza wa Jal, he describes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Ra'ufur Rahim. Bil mu'mineen Ra'ufur Rahim. لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف الرحيم. A messenger has come to you from yourselves, whom you know very well. It grieves him to see you go through any hardship, through any pain, any affliction, to see you in a state where you are where you're not pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal, where you are angering Allah Azza wa Jal. And then he says, he is haris alaykum. Haris alaykum, he's very eager and very concerned over you, that you are of those who are guided. And then he says, bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim, with the believers, he is ra'uf, he's compassionate. Rahim, he's merciful with them. So you'll find that there could be of those names which they are shared, but of course, in a way that it could not be similar in any way to Allah Azza wa Jal. But when we use the name of Ar-Rahman, you are directing it immediately to the one who's exclusive in that word. And no one can be given that name at all, in any way, or that description, as Ar-Rahman. And here's something interesting, brothers, wallahi. It stayed on my mind for a while. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he used some beautiful words with his father. He said, Ya abati, inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-Rahman, fatakuna lish-shaytani waliya. Notice Ibrahim here using also the name of ar-Rahman in a context where you would think to yourself, why ar-Rahman? Why didn't he say al-Jabbar? Why didn't he say al-Muntaqim? Why didn't he use the name of Al-Mu'izz, Al-Mudhil? Why not use that name? Why didn't Maryam alayha salam use that name of Allah that shows the batsh? Inna batsha rabbika la shadid. Verily, the punishment of your Lord is severe. Why didn't she use the name that shows straight away at that time that I'm turning to the one with the strong punishment? It's an interesting question, brothers. And you find, wallahi, the answers to this vary between the scholars. Why Maryam alayha salam uses the name of Ar-Rahman here, when you would have thought about it, that the best thing to do is to use a name that would scare. Of course, Ar-Rahman, when you understand it, it will scare you. Of course, it will attract you, but it also scares you. But why not use the name of Al-Jabbar, Al-Muntaqim? So, It's an interesting question. And Allah Ta'ala a'lam why exactly, but I believe, Wallahu Ta'ala a'lam, in this matter, that it's really a sign of, or it's a way of invitation through targhib and tarheeb, through inviting and scaring at the same time. It's a way of invitation by inviting through the name of Ar-Rahman and also frightening through the name of Ar-Rahman. Because of Ar-Rahman, because the name Ar-Rahman, if you are not deserving of the mercy of Ar-Rahman, then you are doomed and destroyed. So, to be of those who deserve the anger of Ar-Rahman and the wrath of Ar-Rahman is to be someone who has wronged so much that his mistake would not be forgiven and it will be punished severely. And this is a very frightening one. If you think about it, brothers and sisters, think about it. When, and this we're talking, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى, and to Allah belong the best of examples. But when you are talking about your father, who loves you very much, and his heart has always been open for you, and he's always been merciful over you, he's always been gentle with you, and it came, or happened to be one day, that you did that mistake that could not be forgiven by your father. Don't you think at that moment you have committed the worst of crimes? Why? This father, who had so much love, so much mercy over me, the act I have done has been so bad that it made me not deserving of his mercy. Not deserving of his sympathy over me anymore. And he's talking about your father. You realize at that time the greatness of the crime. Think about it for a moment, you realize it. And when the name of Ar-Rahman is mentioned and it's not affecting us, it's not causing us to change, and we continue in our ways and we anger Allah Azza wa Jal, then think of it in a way that fits His Majesty. It fits His Majesty. That if I don't deserve His mercy, then truly I have committed the worst of crimes. And that mercy in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described, that Allah has 100 mercies. Out of that, there's only one placed on earth, which is shared between the creation. And the rest are all for the believers. For a person not to deserve from all that the mercy of Allah, this is the greatest of regret. The greatest of regret. So going back, she said, "Inni a'udhu bir-Rahmani minka in kunta taqiyya." I seek refuge in the most merciful from you. If you are of those who have taqwa, if you are of those who are mindful of Allah, of those who fear Allah, of those who obey Allah, if you are of them, then I seek refuge in Allah from you. Now she also called him there by the character of taqwa. If you have the taqwa, it should refrain you now. It should stop you right now. And subhanallah, wallahi brothers, when the taqwa is found in the heart, and when any creature has the taqwa of Allah, it causes the best of restraints. The best. And it causes the best of encouragement. Yani, think of this example, brothers. Think of this example. Allah Azza wa Jalla in His glorious book, He tells us about the story of the elephant. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْكِيلِ. Have not you seen what your Lord has done with the companions of the elephant? The story of the elephant must be in your minds by now. And if you don't know it, I do encourage you to learn about it. But the interesting part is that this elephant, this big creature, when it got to the outskirts of Mecca, it stopped. It sat down. No matter how much they were doing to it, it wasn't moving. They take it in the opposite direction, it will move. They take it to the right, it will move. They take it to the left, it will move. Take it towards the Kaaba, it will not move. This restraint that the elephant had, and this glorifying that this elephant had, where it stopped it from going to transgress the limits of Allah, to go destroy the Kaaba, is no different, and it should not be different from the restraint that we should have when it comes to crossing the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The elephant had that gift, that instinct that he realized by it, don't go beyond, otherwise you are transgressing. So aren't we more deserving to be of those who set limits and stop wherever Allah has commanded us to stop? So she called him by the taqwa, which is a good cause to restrain, to hold back, to refrain. Then he said,
قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَسُولُ رَبِّكِ لِأَهَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا.
The angel said, I am only a messenger from your Lord to announce to you the gift of a righteous son. The narrations state, the riwayat, the mufassirin give their opinions about what happened there. Ibn Abbas, I recall, he's one of those who stated, he said that when that happened, when Jibreel was frightened by Allah, إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِن كُنْتَ تَقِيَّ انتفض. He, at that moment, shivered and he returned back to his original state, the angelic form. And he said to Maryam, verily I am the messenger of your Lord to you, to announce to you the gift of a righteous son. And here, we're talking about a gift in which you think for a moment to yourself, did Maryam ask for it? Did she call for Allah and ask for Allah to gift her with a son? And if that was the case, wouldn't she be married by now? It's an interesting question that would come to the mind. And the answer is, it was unexpected to her. And what proves it is that when she was given the news, she was surprised. And she said, no one has touched me and I wasn't of those who are prostitutes, from the prostitutes. The point is that I want to share with you, Allah Azza wa Jal, when you are mindful to His commands, He gifts you and He gives you without accountability. He will provide you where you never expected. Where you never expected. And He will provide, and He will sustain you from what you never expected. Maryam alayha salam was one of those. كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب وجد عندها رزقا. Every time Zakaria will enter to the place of her worship, he'll find with her food. And he said to her, أنا لك هذا. قالت هو من عند الله. She said, this is from Allah. إن الله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Verily Allah provides whoever He wants without accountability. When you are fulfilling the commands of Allah, when you are obedient to the commands of Allah, He will sustain you. He will take care of you. He will provide you. He will aid you. He will defend you. احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah, He will protect you. Be mindful of Allah, you'll find Him in front of you. تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Be mindful of Allah at the times of ease, He will know you at the time of hardship. The point is, my dear brothers, when you are dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal, you are not dealing with the one who is unaware, the one who will wait for you to really fall into that situation. You're dealing with a Rabb who is a mudabbir, the one who manages the affairs. All this universe, the heavens and the earth, He's the one who manages its affairs. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day He's in a different affair, from different matters. Every single day in different affairs with the creation. So when you are dealing with Allah, you're dealing with the mudabbir, with the one who is managing all these affairs. And don't think for a moment that He, Allah Azza wa Jal, is the Lord in which He will put that obedient servant into that calamity or that trial and leave him without His care. So Maryam alayhi salam was given the news. The news of a son in which she'll be pregnant with. And not only the news of a son, but a news of a righteous son. The news of a righteous son, which is also a great gift in life. We move on.
قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا.
She said, how can I have a son when no man has touched me, nor am I unchaste? A lady that she's not modest. How could it be that I get a son, no marriage, and I'm not of those who go around? How is it going to happen? Of course, she wasn't of those who doubted the abilities of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is the state of surprise. And at the time when Allah Azza wa Jal surprises, such as with Zakaria and here, you find the responses were really to indicate how new the news was to that person. And how it's something that they never thought about, never expected it to come in that way. So she said, oh, how would it be? How can I have a son when no man has touched me, nor am I unchaste?
قَالَ كَذَلِكِ قَالَ رَبُّكِ هُوَ عَلَيَّ هَيِّنٌ وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا.
He said, so it will be. قَالَ كَذَلِكِ. What you heard will be. The news is going to happen. Your Lord said, قَالَ رَبُّكِ. Your Lord has said, that is easy for me. Nothing is hard for Allah Azza wa Jal. That is easy for me. And we wish to appoint him as a sign to mankind and a mercy from us. And it is a matter already decreed by Allah. We spoke about قَالَ كَذَلِكَ with Zakaria. Similar story, where he said, so it will be, and I'm not going to go back over it again. But the part that's interesting that we need to stop with, وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ, and so that we will make him a sign to mankind. Allah Azza wa Jal, with the creation of Isa, has shown us his great abilities. And we have seen the great wonders from what Allah Azza wa Jal can do. And everything Allah Azza wa Jal is capable of doing. He created Adam from clay. No father, no mother. He created him on his image. And he had the soul blown into him. And he was taught. And he was provided. He created Hawa, Eve, from a father without a mother, from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. And wallahi, there are wisdoms from this. I've spoken about it in another talk, How Allah Azza wa Jal chose Eve to be from the rib of Adam alayhi salam. And perhaps that could be on another occasion, which only Allah knows when I'll talk about it with you. The third one, where He created with from a mother and no father, Isa alayhi salam, a mother from no, with no father. And He created all the rest of the creation from a father and a mother. And this is the four different types of creation for the humans. And this is a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal. Isa alayhi salam was a sign from Allah Azza wa Jal to mankind, to all people. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He describes Him, and a mercy from us. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا رَحْمَةً مِنَّا, the mercy from Allah, His prophethood, His message, the guidance that is brought from Allah on the hands of Isa alayhi salam. This is the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say, with the bounties of Allah and His rahmah, which is referring to His deen, referring to Muhammad and the deen, the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jal, with that they should celebrate, with that they should be, they should rejoice. That is better than that which they gather. So the rahmah here from Allah Azza wa Jal is the rahmah of guidance to mankind. And Allah Azza wa Jal described Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a similar way. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you except as mercy to mankind. So the mercy here, how was it manifested? How was it shown? In the revelation of Allah Azza wa Jal to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the guidance of Allah that was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And previously with Isa alayhi salam. And then He says to her, and it is a matter already decreed by Allah. The scholars differ here. Had it been at that time that already the ruh has been blown into her, or did it happen in a way where it was said that this was something written previously? We can say both are possible. Definitely it was written in the protected tablet, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And when He said, وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا, and it was a matter decreed previously, indicating, yes, that this is something that Allah has written that's going to happen. And there's no change to it. There's no change to this. لا تبديل لكلمات الله. There is no change to the words of Allah. And this is referring to the words in the protected tablet. So He told her, وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا, and it was a matter that has been decreed. And it's also an indication, and it can be an indication that this is something that has already now happened. While I'm speaking to you, it happened. And Allah Ta'ala A'lam, if it happened after He said this or just while He was saying it. Allah Ta'ala A'lam.
فَحَمَلَتْهُ فَانْتَبَذَتْ بِهِ مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا.
So she conceived him. The conceiving happened after the soul was blown into her, and she conceived immediately. And she withdrew with him to a far place. The scholars can give different statements about this. What is popular and what is commonly repeated is that it's in Bayt Lahm, which is approximately up to 8 miles away from Bayt al-Maqdis. This is what has been frequently reported from one nation to the other. And it seems, Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, that there's room to say this. Wallahu a'lam.
فَأَجَاءَهَا الْمَخَاضُ إِلَى جِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ قَالَتْ يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسْيًا مَنْسِيًّا.
And the pains of childbirth drove her to the trunk of a date palm. She said, "Would that I had died before this." She was wishing for death at that time. "Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha." I wish I have died before this and had been forgotten and out of sight. Now here, the ulama derive that you are allowed to wish for death when it's fitna, when a trial has befallen and the fitna is there. The ulama have derived from this the allowance and other proofs, the allowance to ask for death at that time. Otherwise, you should never ask for Allah Azza wa Jal to take your life. Why? Because you don't know how your life will be taken. And you should be in a constant state where you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to take your life while you are a believer, while you are firm on the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that should be our state. Her pregnancy, scholars also differ about it. Some of them said it happened immediately, and that is a weak opinion. Others said it was 8 months, and they said that's why children who are born at 8 months rarely live or hardly can live. And that's because it was something exclusive for Isa alayhi salam. And it's from this great science of the abilities of Allah Azza wa Jalla in creating Isa alayhi salam. Others said, no, it was 9 months normal. And that seems to be the accepted view. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. That seems to be the accepted view because there's nothing to indicate otherwise. There's one thing that we need to reflect on, brothers. And this is not from me trying to bring to the ayat that which it does not carry from meanings. You find that she was worried, not because that she was pregnant, as our sisters might worry today. They're pregnant and they fear now I can't work anymore. I can't go to uni anymore. I'm going to get fat. Whatever the situation is going to be, I've got less freedom. That wasn't her concern, brothers and sisters. Her concern wasn't about that. The concern of hers is what's going to happen now when she has given birth to a child when she was not married. How is she going to walk around between her people who once honored her and loved her and respected her? How is she going to walk in between them in a state where she's been accused in her chastity? And wallahi, this is a state that we wish, wallahi, it can be in our sisters. Where they wish for death before they commit an act that may be seen as immoral or unchaste. Something that is inappropriate for a believing woman. She wishes that the earth would swallow her at that time and place instead of her being seen in that situation that is displeasing to Allah, which affects her chastity. Yani, where is this haya in many of our sisters today who have abandoned their hijab and they are living a life of the kuffar, going out, having fun, going and coming? Where is this haya in these sisters? Where is this state of fearing for their modesty, for their chastity? Even if they did not end up falling in zina, at least the accusation of that now surrounds them. The accusation of zina now surrounds them because of their ill lifestyle, their sick lifestyle, which is surrounded with all that which is nothing but temptations and desires. From free mixing, to chatting, to going and coming. Where is his state? And I say it's also no different to the brothers. And the brothers that should not feel, wallahi, that I am protected from this. You should also protect your chastity, brothers. You should protect your honor. And you should be in that state where you wish that you are buried alive rather than doing that which will anger Allah and cause you to break this honor of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has sheltered you with it. Yani look, Yusuf alayhi salam, he showed that example. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. He said, oh my Lord, prison is more beloved to me than what they are inviting me to. And he remained in prison for a number of years. فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. This is the state of the men and the women of honor, of morality, of dignity, of purity. Maryam was not guilty of anything at that time and place. But she would be now exposed to a fitna, which would be in her chastity, in her haya, in her modesty. And that is something that should be on our minds. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He chose Maryam alayha salam to be from the ladies, from the great ladies of the Al-Alameen. And Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah mentioned a number of them, only a few. Well, He mentioned many men. One of them was Maryam alayha salam, that lady who was considered to be the best of women, the best of women. Look at her example, you realize, why was she the best of women? You see the haya. Wallahi, this haya, brothers, is what we should look for in our sisters too. And this haya is what our sisters should look for in our brothers when they're wanting to get married. Wallahi, there's nothing more beautiful. I want to get sidetracked a little bit. There's nothing more beautiful that a sister can cover herself with, of course, with the hijab, than the beauty of shyness. Not sickness, I'm talking about shyness. Sickness that I'm talking about is where she just simply doesn't have that personality. No. I'm talking about shyness. That khajal, that haya, where the face turns red very easily because of words that are said suddenly now. Unlike like aynak, aynak. She looks at your eye in the eye. What did you say? What, repeat it again? I like that. Like some of the sisters go on with their life. The haya where she feels really, really, you see this, you can sense purity. Brothers, wallahi, this is purity. I can tell you now, wallahi, when I'm listening to talking about Maryam, I can tell you that I'm describing a female, a lady that can be described no less than being absolutely pure. Absolutely pure. So clean, so fresh. That's what makes her Maryam. This is the Maryam we look for. This is the Maryam we want. And also, it goes to our brothers. Doesn't mean that our brothers should be free from the haya and so on. But this is something that the ladies need it more.
فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا فناداها من تحتها ألا تحزني ألا تحزني قد جعل ربك تحتك سريا.
Then he called her from below, saying, grieve not, لا تحزني, grieve not, your Lord has provided a water stream under you. Who called her? It's a good question. Was it Jibreel? From below the valley where she was sitting, there was a valley. Was he calling from below? لا تحزني, don't grieve, don't be upset, don't be saddened. Or was it Isa alayhi salam from her stomach calling her, saying, do not grieve? Allahu a'lam. But I believe, this is my yani junior student of knowledge, ijtihad, which from reading, it was Jibreel. He's the one who called her. Because with Isa alayhi salam, him speaking was a miracle, and that was something which you can say that it only happened when she pointed out to him. And Allah Ta'ala alam, you can say the opposite too. You can say that unless she was expecting him to speak, she wouldn't have pointed it out to him. You can argue that too. Allah Ta'ala alam, you can argue that too, that unless she knew, she wouldn't have pointed out to him. When they asked him, when they spoke to her, she wouldn't have pointed out to him, and then he would speak. Allahu A'lam. Now, they accuse, I'll continue, then I'll tell you what I had in mind now.
وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَةِ تُسَاقِطُ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا.
And shake the trunk of the date palm towards you. Shake the date palm towards you. It will let fall fresh, ripe dates upon you. Now it's interesting to ask, how could a female pregnant shake a palm tree? You're talking about a tree which remains firm when the hard winds blow. When a storm blows, you see one of the trees that remain in the desert is the palm trees. It moves with the wind. And the stronger the wind goes, what happens? It moves with it. And Rasulullah ﷺ described the believer to be like that. He said, there's a tree in the desert which is similar to the believer. And the Sahaba could not answer it. And Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, he had the answer to it, but he did not speak it. And he told his father later on, I knew what it was. It was the palm tree. Okay? So the point is, going back, it's interesting to note how she had this ability. Now, it's really not about the force and the energy that she had and her power. It's not really about that. It's really about her taking the means to be provided. Allah Azza wa Jalla could have ordered the tree to lower to her. He would have ordered the tree, if Allah wanted, to lower itself to provide her. He could have ordered the tree to shake, and the date palms, the dates would have fell onto her, and she would have ate immediately. But it's a lesson that to take the means for what you ask for. Musa alayhi salam, when he was said to him, "Inna la mudrakun," verily we have been caught up. His response was, "Kalla, no." Inna ma'iya Rabbi sayahdeen. Verily my Lord is with me, he's going to guide me. And then he was inspired to strike the ocean or the sea with his stick. And then it split into two, and each one of them was described at that time as two great mountains. But you're talking about mountains of water. Now going back, Musa alayhi salam, was Allah capable or not of causing the ocean to split without him even striking it? Yes. But this is a call to take the means, to do what Allah has commanded you and leave the rest. Follow the path of that which you are asking for. You are seeking something, then follow its path. So he was said to him, and shake the palm tree. It will drop upon you fresh, ripe dates. Even the narration state that the tree wasn't even ripe at that time. The dates were not ripe at that time. And what proves it is the next verse where Allah Azza wa Jal was showing her his favors upon her. And showing the favors upon her will be manifested where the means of having ripe dates were not there. But by the command of Allah, it happened. You shake and it will happen. And she ate from these ripe dates.
فَكُلِي وَاشْرَبِي وَقَرِّي عَيْنًا فَإِمَّا تَرَيِنَّ مِنَ الْبَشَرِ أَحَدًا فَقُولِي فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا.
So eat and drink and be glad. وقري عينا, and be glad. And if you see any human being, say, verily, I have vowed a fast where she would not be allowed to speak to them. And, I have vowed a fast to the most gracious Allah. So I shall not speak to any human being this day. فَقُولِي إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal is showing her His favors upon her. After providing her, He's telling her, eat and drink and be glad. And wallahi, I'll tell you one thing, brothers and sisters. Allah Azza wa Jal will never forsake the one who turns towards Him. Never. Wallahi, brothers, His mercy is even greater than the mercy you have upon yourself. His mercy is even greater than the mercy your mother will have upon you. And if your mother would not like it for you to be in that state of sadness and grief, and she will help you and aid you, then what could you say about your Lord, who is more merciful than your mother over you? Yani, this is something that we need to remember, brothers. We need this in our lives. We need these meanings in our lives. Wallahi, brothers, real joy, real happiness does not come about simply by being of those who follow whims and desires. Wallahi, only comes about from being a truthful servant to Allah Azza wa Jal. Where you feel that wallahi, that feeling you get at that time and place, it would be suffice, and you wouldn't mind being in a state where the whole world is angry with you, knowing that Allah is pleased with you. And this is the meanings that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. O my Lord, if you are not angry with me, I don't care. لَكَ الْعُتْبَى حَتَّى تَرْضَى. You have my constant state of obedience. العتبة. You know what's a عتبة, brothers? عتبة in Arabic is the doorstep. The doorstep. O my Lord. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving this example. O my Lord, you have from me that constant state of obedience. Just like the doorstep, flat, in front of the door, until you are pleased with me, ya Allah. This is the state, brothers. Wallahi, this is the state, brothers. Wallahi, uqsimu billah, uqsimu billah, uqsimu billah. Wallahi, even if it was showering at that moment, at that time, it would showering missiles and bullets, and you had the aeroplanes above and the tanks on the earth and the submarines from below, from the water. Wallahi, you'll feel at that time tranquility and peace that you could not describe in words. Wallahi, you hear words from the Sahaba which describe this, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. How could a man be so tranquil at that time? Like even one of the brothers in a state of jihad, he said some beautiful words. You know what he said? He said, wallahi, we're living in a time better than what we were living between our families. He said, wallahi, we were better than what we were living with our families. Listen to the description of how they were living. Cave, underground. And you're talking about, a place where you had to go down. It's a cave within a mountain, but you had to go underground. Little opening. The sun that they get was from that. Aeroplanes above. Betrayers and traitors from around. Troops and soldiers being dropped and killed right beside them. And they were in a state where they were happy. Smiling. This is Allah Azza wa Jal gifting his servants with his promise. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. There is no, those who say our Lord is Allah, they are upright. There's no fear upon them and there's no grief. This is in this world and the hereafter and at the time of death. And this is what they said. And this is Maryam عليه السلام receiving assurance at that time. We'll stop here, dear brothers. And inshallah, when we begin next lesson, we'll start from the part where she goes to her. Try. When she goes to her people, and that was after she gave birth. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us all. I thank Allah Azza wa Jal and I praise Him for any goodness that comes out of this talk. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive me for all my shortcomings and to guide me wherever I went wrong. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make this Quran a guide for us on the day of resurrection to paradise and not to make it a witness against us. And as a result, we are thrown in the fire because of our negligence towards it. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.